This week's parsha was Parshas Kedoshim, and I thought I would talk a little bit about the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you. The truth is, there's actually somewhat of a question whether the Kedoshim to you is a mitzvah in the sense of being one of the Taryag mitzvos. The Rambam in Shoresh HaRevi'i of Sefer HaMitzvos writes that Kedoshim to you is meant to be a broad concept. You should be holy, how? By keeping all the mitzvot. So it's a mitzvah kolelus. It's a mitzvah that includes everything, and as such should not be counted as one of the taryag mitzvot. And this is according to one interpretation of the Sifra. However, the Ramban, perhaps based off of another understanding in the Sifra, understands that this in fact is a mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah that's telling us to go beyond that which the mitzvos, that which the Torah tells us to do in the other, we'll say, 612 mitzvos. So what exactly is this? This is a famous Ramban that you're all familiar with, but I think in reading through it together, we'll find that there's a lot of very fascinating ideas that emerge from this. So this is the first source on your sheet. He first quotes Rashi, and then he writes, V'ha'inyan, Ki haTorah hishira ba'arayos uvimachalim ha'asurim v'hetira habia ish b'ishto v'achilas habasar v'yayin. In the previous parshios, the Torah has restricted a number of activities. Many of the foods that a person could possibly consume are prohibited. Many sexual relationships are prohibited. And it permitted many things, such as kosher meat, or having tashmish amita with one's wife, or having wine. Imkein, Yimtza bal hataiva makom liyo shituf bezimas ishto, o nashav harabos, ulihios mi besov eyayin bezolule basar lamo. A person can, without violating any of the other taryag mitzvos, be disgusting by engaging in these pleasurable activities in excess, such as having too much meat, being a glutton, too much wine, being a drunkard, having, for example, many wives, so as to fulfill his pleasures. And technically speaking, one will not have been in violation of any of the halachos. Shelo huzker iser ze b'torah. V'hine yiye naval birshus haTorah. Such a person would be disgusting with the permission of the Torah, meaning to say that you shouldn't think that just by following all the, we'll say, taryag mitzvos, we'll see there are other such general mitzvos in just a moment, that one is such a grace tzaddik. It's not true. You could be disgusting even without violating any of the mitzvos of the Torah. I saw recently a shmooze from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in which he wasn't actually focusing on Kedoshim. The topic of the shmooze was the Torah's value of a strong work ethic, but in so doing, he very much expressed Ramban's sentiment. I'll just read you two paragraphs from the Shmuz. Just had his yahrzeit, his first yahrzeit, and I think it's very powerful, something that we probably observe very frequently. He writes, "In recent years, one observes on the American scene a terribly disturbing phenomenon, the spread of hedonistic values, but with a kind of glot kosher packaging. There was a time when the problem of hedonism for religious Jews didn't often arise, because even if you wanted to have the time of your life, there wasn't very much that you could do. The country clubs were all barred to Jews. There weren't many kosher restaurants. There were no kosher nightclubs, etc. In the last decade or two, a whole culture has developed geared towards the frum, where the message is enjoy, 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 and everything has a hechsher, and even a super hechsher. The message is that whatever the Gentiles have, we have too. They have trips to the Virgin Islands, we have trips to the Virgin Islands. Consequently, there has been a certain debasement of values, in which people have a concern for the minutia of halacha, but with a complete lack of awareness of the extent to which the underlying message is totally non-halachic and anti-halachic." A little later he writes, "There's nothing wrong with a person wanting to enjoy, to have a good meal, but if you open up the food critic's column in a newspaper, it is simply muksamach masmios, untouchable because it's revolting. A person who is morally sensitive finds it is impossible to read those columns. Now, in this piece, he wasn't talking about asceticism, about precious or the like. He says, I personally don't practice nor preach asceticism, but he's talking about Kedusha. And what the Ramban here is pointing out is that Kedusha and our life should be geared towards attaining Kedusha demands that we focus on Kedusha and certainly not be exceedingly focused on the material, on pleasure. What's so bad about reading a food column that he says, muksamach masmios? So I think what he's getting at is a very simple point, that while enjoying a meal is something that the Torah does not necessarily restrict, glorification of pleasure is something that the Torah very much thinks is antithetical to the achievement of Kedusha. And our focus in life has to be one of Kedusha. So the Ramban continues, Lefikach ba'akasav, acharei sheparat ha'isurim, sha'asar osam legamrei, after the Torah had specified those things that are actually prohibited, v'tziva b'davar klali, sheniya perusham min hamutaros, prusham min hamutaros. So then, the Torah gave a general mitzvah to stay away from that which is mutar. Ima'et b'mishkal, kinyan she'amru she'lo yeh talmidei chachamim mitzuyin etzel nishosem ketar negolen, v'lo yishamesh ela kafi atzarech b'kiyum ha'mitzvah mimenu. V'yikadish atzmo min hayayin b'mi'uto, u'kimo she'kara ha'kasov ha'nazir kadosh. Just as a nazir is called kadosh, because he engages in a degree of precious, so too, we see that precious is associated with Kedusha. The Ramban's takeover here on Nazir is interesting, and how that relates to, for example, the Rambam's understanding of why a Nazir brings a chatas, because tzir atzmo min hayayin, is a good question, not one that we'll discuss today. V'lo yishamei shelekfi atzorach b'kiyam ha-mitzvah mimenu v'yikadish at, sorry, I read that. V'yizkor haros ha-nizkaros mimenu b'torah b'noach v'lot. When we look at the Torah's stories about the dangers of drunkenness, whether with the Lot or with Noach, so we see how dangerous getting drunk could be. V'chein yafrish atzmo min atoma, afal pi shelo huzharnu mimenu b'torah. Likewise, another example of Kedusha is to separate from Tumah, even though the Torah did not prohibit it, meaning to say the Torah says Kohanim have to be Tahor, at least when serving in a Beis HaMikdash. Everybody, B'shas HaRegel, should become Tahorim, B'zman HaMikdash. But there's no general restriction in the Torah to becoming Tameh. Here, too, there might be a little bit of a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam implies that there is no special mile of being Tahor for Israel. The Ramban says, no, that's part of Kedusha. Ki'inyan she'iz kiru, bigde am ha'aretz medris leprushim. Ukemoshen nikra ha'nazir kadosh, b'shamro mitumas meis gamken. Another example is a nazir who's restricted from tumas ha'meis, and this reflects the Kedusha associated with not becoming with precious. V'gam yishmor piv u'lashono mihiz gael b'riboy ha'achil ha'gaso min ha'dibor ha'nimas. Watch your mouth from saying things or from eating excessively, from gluttony. Kinyan shehizkir ha'kasov v'chol ped dover nevela v'yikadish atzmo b'zeh ad sheyagia l'prishos k'mo she'amra Rabbi Chiya shelo sach sicha b'teila miyamav. We sometimes think of precious with respect to food exclusively. So he says, no. Precious is also with respect to how we talk. So Rabbi Chiya, who never was sach sicha b'teilu, never spoke idle or frivolous chatter, That too is a reflection of Kedoshim to you. Now, as we'll explain in just a minute or two, when it comes to defining what is excessive and what is moderate, what is appropriate, so here the Torah doesn't give us firm guidelines. The mitzvah of Kedoshim to you does not have a siman in Shulchan Aruch that explains exactly what's appropriate. Kedoshim to you says, wine's okay, but don't be a drunkard. Having meat, enjoying a steak, is okay, but don't be a glutton. Now, how much is, what makes something novel b'rishas HaTorah? How big of a steak is in violation of Kedoshim to you? So, there are no firm guidelines here. In that sense, it's a mitzvah because it's vague that is much more dependent on the person, the place, the times. There's no guidelines given, at least explicitly, to how one is supposed to carry out this mitzvah. And we'll return to this point in just a minute. With the Magid Mishnah, which we'll see on the bottom of the page, I saw a Dvar Torah from Rav Rosenzweig on this topic, and he summarizes this point of the Ramban as follows. Ramban projects the obligation to cultivate Kedusha as a fundamental approach to halachic life. He formulates Kedoshim to you as the requirement to strive to internalize halachic values, ensuring their application beyond the obligatory norm. So what Rabbi Rosenzweig is saying is, where do we figure out what's right and what's wrong with respect to Kedoshim to you? We look towards internalizing halachic values. Meaning to say, even though the Torah does not state explicitly, or the Shulchan Aruch or the Gemara does not state explicitly how much is too much and how much is too little, we look to internalize the halachic values, ensuring their applicability beyond the halachic norm. Meaning to say, if we internalize the ideas of the halacha, and also perhaps include texts and Torah, which is not, strictly speaking, halachic texts. We study the stories in the Torah, and the stories from the Gemara, and the like. So that ensures that their application goes beyond the obligatory norm. So it's not enough, and this is the idea of this Ramban, to follow simply the letter of the law. One must seek to follow the spirit of the law. And how do you figure out the spirit of the law? By studying the law as well, by studying the halachos. So when studying halachos, the Ramban here is telling us, we must not limit ourselves to figuring out that which is right and wrong in the narrow sense, that simply which the letter of the law restricts, but we also have to try to determine the spirit of the law from the study of the law. Again, back to Rabbi Rosenzweig. He seems to extend this analysis to argue that Kedusha relates to the cultivation of a religious personality. Aval haprishus hi she ba'ala nikraim perushim. Indeed, the Ramban strongly condemns individuals who abuse and exploit the halachic system by scrupulously observing the letter of the halachic law, even while trampling on its fundamental values and contravening its most sacred principles. Kedoshim to you, as understood by Ramban, demands that we not only punctiliously observe halachic law, but that we embrace a broad halachic worldview. So the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you, then, is a mitzvah saying don't just follow the letter of the law, but also follow the spirit of the law. Having gone ahead and in the previous parsha enumerated many details of the letter of the law, now the Torah says, okay, well, maybe you think the letter of the law is sufficient. No, Kedoshim to you. You should strive for Kedusha. What does that mean? That means one should seek to fill the spirit of the law as well. Let's continue in Ramban. We're now on the third paragraph in the first source. Be'elu kiyotze bahen ba'a ha-mitzvah hazos ha-klalis. So with respect to these things and other such things, there is this general mitzvah. Again, general meaning after having many specific mitzvos, there's a general mitzvah. Acharesha parat kol ha'averos shehen asuros lagamre, ad shi kanes bechlal hatzava hanikius biyadav uvegufo. Kimosha amru, viskadishtem elu maim rishonim, vayisem kadoshim elu maim achronim. Ki kadosh ze shemen arev. So the pasuk says, viskadishtem vayisem kadoshim ki kadosh ani Hashem. So Chazal understand this is a reference to washing your hands before a meal, after a meal, and the like. Nikios. Nikios is an example of Kedusha, and that reflects this idea of Ramban. Ki af al pi, she'elu ha-mitzvos mid-divrehem, even though Netilas Yadayim or Mayim Achronim are only mitzvos de-Rabbanan, so then in what way are they alluded to by the words Kedoshim to you? Ikara kasuv b'kiyote bazehis here. The idea of the Torah is to instruct about these fundamental ideas. Meaning to say, the Ramban is saying that many times we'll have mitzvos derabbanan that are meant to express this de'oraisa concept. And he's going to say many other examples of this as well. So the mitzvos derabbanan are frequently meant to capture the spirit of the law with additional formal restrictions. And that's why, as we'll see shortly, a Isser D'Rabbanan on Shabbos is called a Shvus, which comes from the mitzvah de'oraisa of Tishbos. So one of the goals of mitzvos D'Rabbanan is to expand the law to include the idea of the law, to prevent Navel Birshos HaTorah. Now, that doesn't mean to say that, well, then if you just follow the D'Oraisas and the D'Rabbanans, you're saved. But nevertheless, that's one of the purposes of mitzvos derabbanan, and the Ramban's going to explain further in just a moment. Shenia nikiyim utahorim uprushim mehamon b'nei adam shehen melach lachim atzman b'mutaros uvechiyurim. Okay, v'zeh derech haTorah lifrot v'lichlol ukiyotze b'zeh. This is the way of the Torah to go ahead and include many things and the like in this general concept. Kiacharei, and now the Ramban is going to go ahead and give two other examples, which is what we're going to talk about now, or at least in a couple of minutes, where we have the same model. Namely, after the Torah has gone ahead and specified many, many narrow restrictions, the Torah then gives a general mitzvah to expand in a more vague and general way this concept. So where else do we find this idea? Two other places. Ki acharei azharas pratei adinim b'chol ma'asu matan shebein bnei adam lo tigno v'lo tigzol v'lo tonu v'sharas haros amar b'chlal v'asisa hayasher v'atov. After the Torah went ahead and specified what types of things are prohibited when it comes to the realm of Bein Adam L'Chavero, and especially in monetary law. So you can't cheat, and you can't steal, and you can't overcharge, and you can't mislead, and so on and so forth. The Torah has a general commandment. What is that general commandment? V'asisa yashar v'atov. Go ahead and do that which is yashar, which is straight, and tov, that which is good. The straight and the good. Now, what is meant by do the straight and the good? That's a very vague mitzvah, just like the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you. Be holy. Do the straight and the good. What's the purpose of that mitzvah? It's the same thing. The Torah recognizes that even if a person in business is honest, and he doesn't lie, and he doesn't cheat, but he could still be Navel Birshos HaTorah. He could be a jerk. A person can, let's give an example, let's say there's a very successful, wealthy landlord who owns many buildings, and he has a tenant, I don't know, a single mother with children who's unemployed, just lost her job, can't make ends meet. So she hasn't paid her rent fully for the last couple of months. So according to the strict letter of the law, you could probably throw her out. After all, she's in breach of contract. She hasn't done her part of the bargain, pay her rent, so why can't I throw her out? And such a person could say, look, I'm not cheating, I'm not stealing, I'm just doing what it says in a contract. So such a person perhaps would be naval b'rishas HaTorah. Yes, he's not cheating or stealing, but he's not acting in a proper way. He's certainly missing the idea, the spirit of the law, even if not violating the letter of the law. So that's why the Torah says, even though you don't cheat and you don't steal, vasisa yasher vatov, do that which is right, do that which is good. Again, the definition, what constitute right and what constitute good, is not given. That's left for, to a large degree, us to figure out. We'll see some specific examples in a moment. That's the concept of lifnim mishura sadin.
Yasher is usually associated with justice, not with...
I mean, that's part of it. I don't think necessarily limited to that. It means straight. But even if it does mean justice, perhaps it means that it's reflecting the idea that sometimes justice, even what's just in the technical sense, is not always just in a different way of looking at it. Just as an
difference between
so it's an interesting concept. This is an interesting balance. For example, the Gemara.
Because a judge cannot give a poor person.
Right. Excellent. So that's correct. In that case, in the case, the judge specifically is prohibited from considering factors such as the poor plight of the poor person. What's interesting is that judges, according to the Torah, there's two ways of judging a case. There's din and there's pshara. And there's a discussion in the first parak of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, what is preferable? And the view that we accept is that pshara is preferable. In other words, while any one of the litigants has the right to insist on din, we try to encourage pshara. Why do we encourage pshara? So one reason is that perhaps compromise will lead to more peace. Both sides will be getting something. It's more efficient. There are various reasons why we might encourage pshara. But one reason is, in a sense, that it gives the pashran, the judge, but he's not judging using din, the discretion to consider other factors. And in a certain sense, that decision is more true, is more just. It allows for consideration of other factors. And while that isn't strict justice, it's not din, and we can never compel a person to sacrifice what he is allowed to do, the Torah does encourage people to engage in pshara and understands that at times pshara is in a way more true than din. So in a sense, there is more than one definition of truth. And there's an acknowledgement of the advantages and the disadvantages of both. That might reflect the debate in the Gemara, what's preferable. One opinion says, no, you should never encourage pshara. Yikov adin esahar. At least a judge shouldn't. Perhaps before you get to court, the two parties should come to some type of peaceful settlement. But once you come to court, it's never the judge's job to encourage pshara. Court is emes. Mishpat yikov adin esahar. We don't paskin that way. We paskin that a judge should encourage, though he could never force, pshara. Anyhow, so that's the Ramban writes over here, that yasher v'tov, at least, perhaps that's not the judge's job, but an individual's responsibility to pursue yasher v'tov. Shikanes be'asei hayosher v'hahashvaya v'chol lifnim mishur sadin l'ratzon chaver. There's a mitzvah saseh to do this. Now again, what's so interesting here is that it's a mitzvah saseh, lifnim mishur sadin, whether it's in a sense of kedoshim to you in matters of iser v'heter, or yasher v'tov in matters of choshen mishpat and din, this is actually a mitzvah saseh. It's not just midas chasidus. Sometimes we think of midas of kedusha or as lifnim mishur sadin as midas chasidus, something supererogatory that's for very righteous people, but it's not actually a mitzvah. The chiddush of the Ramban here is that this is actually a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to strive for kedusha. There's a mitzvah to do lifnim mishur sadin. Now, you could ask, once lifnim mishur sadin, beyond the letter of the law, is a mitzvah, then what makes it different from din? In what way is it different from din? Both din and lifnim mishur sadin are obligatory. So then how are they different? So we'll see some answers to that question in a moment, but there are still a number of differences between din and lefnim mishuras hadin. For one thing, at least generally speaking, you can never compel a person to follow lefnim mishuras hadin. Only din is actionable in court, not lefnim mishuras hadin. You can never force someone to do this, even though it's a mitzvah for him to do it. I can't sue someone to follow lefnim mishuras hadin. Maybe it's a mitzvah for him to do it. Another difference is, as we noted, things that are lefnim mishuras hadin are very different in that they're much more flexible and depend on the circumstances. If we go back to the example that we said before of the landlord not throwing out that poor person, there might be a very big difference if, for example, the landlord is somebody who's very wealthy, and for him, forgiving something is not going to really impact on his own livelihood, and someone who's making ends meet, about which we say, chayecha kodman, you have to put your own needs before those of others. So such distinctions between, let's say, somebody who's wealthy and someone who is getting by make a very big difference in the realm of lefnim mishuras hadin, but are totally irrelevant in the realm of din. I think the Ramban includes both things, I stayed away from using the word chumrah.
Right.
And one reason to stay away from these things is to prevent other averos, like you stated, but also it's to achieve kedusha, which is a positive value. So it's not simply restrictions so as to stay away from violating other averos, but it's striving for kedusha in a positive sense.
So the Rav Matal pointed out that either the Rabban is a mitzvah say, but we don't find that he puts that in the asking the Nishma to...
So that's a very interesting point. We noted at the beginning the Rambam's view that Kedoshim is not mentioned.
It's general thing.
Exactly. And what's interesting, what you're pointing out, is that Ramban has a list of mitzvos asay that the Rambam left off. So one would have expected that in light of Ramban's understanding of the pasuk of Kedoshim to you, it should have been listed in the mitzvos asay that the Rambam left out. In other words, unlike Rambam, who sees Kedoshim to you as a general mitzvah, not at all specific, not adding anything else, and therefore it's obvious why the Rambam didn't include it, but based off of Ramban's understanding of Kedoshim to you, so we would have expected that it would have been listed among those things that the Rambam left out. But the Ramban doesn't do that. So that's that. So what were you suggesting? What does that imply?
It's also like a general, it could be an essay, but still...
So you're saying is that because it's so general, that's why even Ramban would not count it technically as one of the 613 mitzvahs. This is an important point, which is that whether or not something is included in the Taryag mitzvos does not necessarily indicate that it's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah in the more colloquial sense of the word. It's a very important idea the Ramban says over here. It's something that one must do, but it might not necessarily be included in Taryag mitzvos because what's included in Taryag mitzvos has to fulfill certain criteria, and this might not fill that criteria due to its vague.
See, Ravara Salvich was not in the Ramban. He said this in the Rambam. The Rambam says that, like, he's supposed to do tshuva on midos. He says the stales. So he said that, say, Zol of the Sol or something like that, or drinking wine. He said there's no specific issur to take a drink of wine. He said, but if you do it constantly, so then the overall picture makes you over. But there's no specific action that you can point to and say that that's you're being over.
Okay.
You said it in the Rambam, maybe you can
same
apply
idea.
It to Rambam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know.
Very good. Okay, kasher afaresh behagiani lemakomo biratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm going to explain this idea about Sisei Yashar HaTov better when I get there, and we'll read what he says there in a moment. Avchein beinyan haShabbos. The same thing is true with respect to Shabbos. Asar hamelachos belav vehatrachim beasei klali shenemar tishbos. After the Torah went ahead and restricted the 39 melachos, so again, a person could be Navo Birshos HaTorah. What does that mean? That means that you could miss the spirit of Shabbos even without violating any of the technical halachos. You can not violate any of the 39 melachos, but still, and therefore in that sense, you're keeping Shabbos, you're observing Shabbos, you're not doing melacha, you haven't violated the letter of the law. But a person can not violate the letter of the law, but at the same time, totally miss the spirit of the law. So, therefore, the Torah has this general mitzvah saseh, namely tishbos, to fill in that gap. So, the Ramban has told us there are three places where the Torah, after having specified many specific prohibitions, the Torah then has an aseh klali to ensure that we not just follow the letter of the law, but we also keep the spirit of the law. One is kedoshim to you, Kadesh Atzmecha b'moter lach. Number two is V'asisa Yashar V'hatov. After the Torah said, don't cheat, don't steal, no, do that which is straight and good. And finally, number three, with respect to Shabbos. In all three of these cases, it's not enough to just keep the letter of the law. One must keep the spirit of the law. And that's the purpose of the mitzvahs asei. So Shabbos, he discusses at length in Vayikra Chaf Gimel Chaf Dalet, where he discusses the mitzvah of Tishbos, this week's Parsha, Parsha's Emor. So that's the third source on your sheet. Vasisa Yashar Vatov, he discusses in Dvarim Paragvav Pasuk Yilches, which is the fourth source on the sheet. Maybe we'll have a chance to look at them briefly. And first, let's finish the Ramban on Kedoshim. Vitama Kasov She'amar ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. The pasuk concludes, kedoshim to you, you should be holy, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I, your God, am holy. Lomar she'anachnu nizkeh ledavka bo bi'oseinu kedoshim. If we can achieve kedusha through kadesh atzmucha b'motar lach, then we will be zoche lidavek be'akadosh baruch hu, to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hinei zeh kinyan hadibur harishon ba'aseres hadibros. A fascinating idea that this corresponds to and is parallel to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Maybe we'll return to what he means exactly in a moment. But before that, if you want to get an impression of how important this is for Ramban, this idea of Kedusha, or to put it a little differently, how bad it is to totally reject Kedusha, so you could see that in his comments on the Ben Sorer Umora. The Ben Sorer Umora, the wayward and rebellious son, of course, is executed. Why is he executed? Because he steals from his parents to buy meat and wine, and he does so on multiple occasions, even after being warned, and a number of specific conditions have to be met. But ultimately, if those conditions are met, then such a child is executed. Child perhaps is imprecise, he has to be a gadol halachically, but such a person is executed. And of course the question is, why? What did he do wrong? So, yes, he did some things wrong. He stole. Okay. He disobeyed his parents. Okay. But why does that warrant execution? So, the Ramban writes in the second source, Ben Sorer Umoreh, Al Das Rabboseinu, Eino Katan Shakatan Patur Mikol Onshin Shebetorah Mikol Mitzvos, Aval Saros. We're not talking about a katan, we're talking about someone who's halachically a gadol, namely he has shtei saros. V'hine yesh alav shtei onshin. Ha'echad shehu mekale aviv v'imo umam rebahem. There are two themes in this mitzvah. You see these two themes both in the Rambam and the Ramban, though they phrase them very differently. One is what he did wrong is that he was rebellious against his parents, like the pasuk says, "Einenu shomea b'kol aviv v'kol imo." Vasheni, the second theme, "Hu zolel v'sovei." The pasuk emphasizes he's zolel v'sovei. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Over amash and itzdavinu kedoshim to you. He's in violation of that which the Torah commanded kedoshim to you. In other words, what mitzvah did this child violate? The answer is, he is in violation of kedoshim to you. And such excessive violation of kedoshim to you warrants misa. Now, practically speaking, this is something that might never have even happened. According to one opinion in the Gemara, it couldn't happen. But at least one of the things, one of the themes that that mitzvah is teaching us is how important kedoshim to you is. And it's teaching us that if someone becomes so corrupt in their hedonism that the punishment of that is death. V'nemar od v'oso ta'avodu uvotid bakun kasher pirashti shenitztavinu ladas Hashem b'chol derachenu v'solel v'sovei lo yeda derech Hashem. Someone who is zolel v'sovei will never be yodea derech Hashem, and that in a sense is a purpose of all the mitzvahs. The Ramban here continues, but for now we'll stop here. Skipping for a moment, we'll skip his comments on Shabbos. That's the third source. If you take a look over there, he talks about how you see that many of the shvusim in the Isurim Derabbanan on Shabbos are meant to ensure that the spirit of Shabbos is kept, not just the lack of violation of the letter of the law. This is also stressed in the Nevi'im, like the Psukim that say, Mimtso chetzucha v'daber davar az tisanag al Hashem. The fourth source discusses the idea of asisa yashar v'atov, the idea that when it comes to our business engagements, we have to make sure to keep not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. Lefi she'i afshar lazkir b'torah kol hanhagos ha'adam im shcheinav v'reyav. I'm reading where it's bolded. V'chol masa'o umatano v'tikunei ha'yishuv v'amedinos kulam. Here the Ramban addresses the question of why doesn't the Torah actually codify so many of the laws or the ideas in Vasisa Hayashar Vatov. And he writes that the Torah could not include everything. All the things that are necessary for a society to flourish. Tikunei Hayishuv Medinos Kulam. In fact, the Rabban writes that different societies and different times and different places call for different types of tikunim, different types of regulations. So, for example, there are many mitzvos derabanan in the realm of choshen mishpat that are mipnei tikkun olam or mipnei tikkun hashuk. For example, laws that were enacted by the chachamim to make commerce more productive, more efficient, even things that don't necessarily relate to wrongs that are done to another person. Just as an example, the halacha is that midoraisa, if I steal something from you and sell it to you, so assuming for a moment that you weren't miyayish, so he could go ahead and take it back from you. And because it doesn't belong to you, and now there'd be a concern that people would always be afraid to buy things because they might be stolen and they would be taken back by the original owner, and you would lose your money and your object. Now, it's true, you would have recourse to go back to find the thief and then sue the thief and the like, but if everybody was afraid of that happening, then they would be very hesitant to buy things in the marketplace, and this would lead to a lack of commerce. So one takana that was made is that unless you buy from a Goslin Yadu, unless you, if there is reason to suspect that you, there was no reason that you should have known that this was a stolen good, so then the original owner gets his product back from the thief, from the person who bought it from the thief, but now he has to repay the person who bought it from the thief, and he, the original owner, has to find the thief to get his money back. So this is something that was done entirely to a takana that was made for the sake of efficiency in commerce. In fact, the person whose object was stolen really loses out, but Chazal thought that takana sashuk is more important. So many, the Ramban writes that the purpose of takanot in the realm of dine mamonos is not just to insist that people go beyond the letter of the law in terms of seeking a higher level of justice and kindness and the like, but markets demand that there be tweaks to the system. So why aren't these tweaks included in the Torah? Because it would be impossible to include all of them, the Ramban writes. And moreover, the Ramban writes that they change from time to time and place to place. In fact, the Ramban writes that there were certain types of takanos that were necessary for the Jews while in the Midbar. And in later, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, they needed different types of takanos. The Ramban writes that, in fact, part of the mitzvah, one of the Sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach, the mitzvah of dinim, is the responsibility for every country to enact a legal system that's just and equitable, and that includes doing things like takana sashuk. What is the best way of fulfilling that mitzvah? The Torah doesn't say. The Torah doesn't say whether free market is better, or socialism is better, or communism is better, or capitalism is better. The Torah says, according to the Ramban, that certain laws be enacted to ensure that people are treated fairly, and that people aren't ripped off. And this includes things like ona'a and worker protection, the Ramban writes. But how specifically to do it? So that's left up to people to figure out. And that's a mitzvah even on B'nai Noach, and it's also a mitzvah on B'nai Yisrael, and that's why there were different takanos in different times in different places. Yeah?
Did the Rambam take the position that morality was coincident with halacha, or that it was different?
That's a very good question, one which we don't have time to fully consider over here. The Rav Luchtenstein also has an article on this topic, on that very question, and in it he considers as a source this Ramban, where the Ramban says that a person could be novel birshas HaTorah, meaning to say without violating the letter of the law, one can still be immoral, essentially, but at the same time, that mitzvah is included within the law. Meaning to say it becomes part of the law once it's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to follow, or if you want to use your terms, not to be immoral, even when following the letter of the law exclusively would not protect against immorality. So in a sense, the answer is both. And that leads to the question which we alluded to at the beginning, which is how exactly you figure that out. Is it entirely from within the law that one looks for these extra legal values or not? Svara plays an important role in the like. Perhaps this idea, and I guess we're just about out of time, but the last source reflects this idea, which is the Magid Mishnah and Hilchos Shechinim. One example of this halacha that the Ramban refers to at the very end of his comments in Dvarim is Dina de Bar Metzra. Dina de Bar Metzra is that if I have to give the right of first refusal to my next door neighbors when selling my land. Now, I don't have to give them a discount. They have to pay whatever anybody else is willing to pay. But I have to give them the right of first refusal. And the reason for that is because the land is worth potentially more for them than it is for anybody else. Let's imagine we're talking about farms. So if I have two adjacent plots of farmland, that's far more efficient than if I have two non-adjacent plots. So therefore, I have to give the right of first refusal to my next door neighbor. Now, strictly speaking, in the world of din, that shouldn't be true. In the world of din, in a narrow sense of the term, I could sell to whoever I want. So why should I have to give this right of first refusal to my next door neighbor? And the answer is because not to do so is a violation in a sense of asisa yashar vatov. This land is worth more to my next door neighbor than it is to anybody else. I don't benefit by selling to somebody else because I'm going to get the same price anyway. So I may as well give my next door neighbor first dibs. Now, this is actually an example where we have something that's based off of asisam vasayasha vasatov that's actually actionable in court. This is not the norm. Usually, as we said before, asisa vasayasha vasatov is not actionable. But this is an example where it is actionable. And the Magid Mishnah makes the following point. Again, the final source. V'inyan din ben hametzar, this idea of bar metzra, the point of the dina de bar metzra, hu shetaraseinu atmima nasna betikon midos adam uvehanhagaso be'olam klalim. The Torah laid down general principles concerning the development of man's character and his conduct in the world, be'amiras kedoshim to you. For example, when it said kedoshim to you, which is again the idea, this general mitzvah, you shall be holy. The kavana, this means to say, kemosh amruzal kadesh atzmacha b'motar lach, sanctify yourself in that which is permitted to you. Shelo yehi shituf achar hataivos, that a person should not be swept up by the pursuit of lust. V'chein amra v'asisa hayashar v'atov. Likewise, the Torah said, you shall do the right and the good. Sheyisnaheg behanhaga tova, that a person's interpersonal conduct should be good. Im b'nei adam v'lo hayamina ra'ui b'chol zeh litzavos pratim, but it would not have been appropriate for the Torah to give detailed instructions. Lefi shemitzvah satorah heim b'chol eis u'v'chol zman. Because the Torah's commandments apply at all times, in every period, and under all circumstances. And one must follow these laws. But man's characteristics and behavior vary depending on the time and the individual. V'achachamim kasvuk tzas pratim mo'lim noflim tachas klalim elu. So Chazal set down some relevant details subsumed under these principles. Umehem shasu osam bedin gamor. Sometimes they gave them the status of absolute din, like in the example of dina de bar metzra. Umehem lechatchila, and sometimes they made them in a way that this is lechatchila, what you should do ante facto, not post facto, and sometimes the derech chasidus, and sometimes they said doing this is midas chasidus. It's not even lechatchil, it's midas chasidus. It's something that the pious should strive to do. V'akol midvarehem, all of them are midirabanan. However, they're subsumed under the basic deoraisa concept of asisa v'asayash v'asatov. Ulezam ruchavivin devrei dodim yoser miyena shel Torah. Thus, about this they said, the words of the rabbis, it's referred to as dodim, beloveds, are more beloved than the wine of Torah. Shenemar ki tovim dodecha miyayin. They said, for your love is greater than wine. And there are many stories in the Gemara that reflect this. We'll close with one story, but really there are many, and these are the things that anybody who's engaged in life, and especially in business, encounters all the time. The Gemara reports a story of Rabba Bar Bar Chanan, who once hired workers. This is a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, and he hired porters to schlep his barrels of wine from his warehouse to his retail store. These porters were negligent, and they broke the barrels. So Rabba Bar Bar Chanan suffered a loss. So he seized their assets. They had left their cloaks in his possession, and he held on to them. And he said, when you pay me for the damaged barrels from the wine that you lost, I'll give you your coats back. So the Gemara reports that they came before Rav, and they complained to Rav. They said, look, Rabba Bar Bar Chanan is not giving us our coats back. So Rav told him, Hav lehugli mayu, give them their coats. So Rabba Bar Bar Chanan said back to Rav, Dina hachi, is this the halacha? In other words, I'm right. I have the legal right to seize, to hold on to their coats until they pay me for the they damaged. So that's a question, what was included and the like, but he felt that according to the law, I have the right to hold on to these. And Amar Le, Rav said, yes, is the law, as the Pasuk says, Leman Telech Bederech Tovim, so you shall go in the path of the good. Interesting that he doesn't quote the Pasuk in Dvarim, he quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei. Why? Guess we'll have to talk about another time. So then the Gemara continues. And they said to him, the workers said to Rabba Bar Bar Chanan, Aniyeyanan, we're poor. V'tarchinan kule yoma, and we worked for you all day long. V'kafinan, and we're hungry. V'leslan midi, we have no money. We don't have money to buy supper. We're daily workers. How are we planning to buy our supper? With the money, with the wages that we are planning to earn today. Now, we don't have any money. So Amar Le, Rav said to Rabba Bar Bar Chanan, Zil, hava grayu, pay them their wages. Amar Le, Dina Hachi said, is this the halacha? I have to pay workers if they do what they're supposed to do. These workers were negligent, they didn't do their job, why should I have to pay? Amar Le, in, yes, pay them, this is the halacha. As the Pasuk says, this is the end of the Pasuk he quoted before, V'orchos tzadikim tishmor, the ways of the righteousness you shall keep. Now, what exactly is happening here? Is Rav telling him, you have to do this? Could they sue him? Or is he saying, you have to do this because it's a mitzvah? They could sue you. Not so clear from the Gemara. The Rishonim discuss exactly the parameters of this halacha and what was Rav telling him and why did he invoke these psukim and the like. But clearly we see here that Rav was telling Rabba Bar Bar Chanan that simply following that which it says in the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat and the like is not right, is not correct. And what you're obligated to do is, in this case, even to pay these workers. Maybe, had you not hired them, you wouldn't have had to pay them. But, as it were, they're your achrayas, you hired them, you told them you're going to give them food for supper, and now it's your job. The parameters of this, of course, are very difficult to figure out. What happens if you have workers that are taking advantage of you? They know you're a softy and the like. Excellent questions. But again, what the ideas of these three mitzvos that we studied today from the Ramban is that it's not enough to just follow the letter of the law. The Torah enjoins us to keep the spirit of the law, and even though sometimes figuring out what that spirit of the law is very difficult, that is in fact exactly what we're obligated to do.